Welcome to Clay and Iron. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, and our special guest this evening is Lorraine Murray, the lady who's traveling around the world, an expert on neuroscientist, talking about the very serious issues I consider fighting against worldwide. Recently returned from my month-long trip to Japan with Dr. Stern Glass, back in the 1960s with consulting President Kennedy. And welcome to the program, Lorraine.
Thank you. It's a little bit hard to hear you.
Well, I guess Don will have to do a little minor adjustments to our. I can hear you real well, but I guess
yes.
We have to adjust the sound up on
okay. It might be your phone line. Your phone line's kind of cutting in and out, but I can turn your volume up.
Okay.
All right. So.
How's that?
Yeah.
Is that okay, Dr. Deagle?
Yep, we're all set to go.
Okay, can you hear him fine now?
Yes, I can.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay, Lorraine, so introduce yourself to everyone listening on BBS Radio Worldwide, and tell us about how serious this issue is. People have heard perhaps on this network on my report. We did a show today, and we've done many in the last year and a half, talking about depleted uranium, and I call it not so depleted uranium, very, very much. It has a half-life of 4.5 billion years, so it takes 25 billion years for virtually eliminating, which is long after the sun will go up. And so we have a very serious problem with the proliferation of munitions worldwide, especially by the American government, now applied by many countries, Canada, Europe, South Africa, et cetera. So it's a very big problem. Tell us about your journey to fight this.
Well, I'm a geoscientist. And I was studying the history of the Earth's magnetic field. And in order to do that, you have to know a lot about atmospheric dust, which ends up on the bottom of the oceans and preserves the history of the magnetic field in the sediments. So in 2000, I was invited to the Hiroshima and Nagasaki events, memorializing the atomic bombs dropped on Japan in 1945, and I met a Japanese journalist who had written about 50 interviews on depleted uranium and published them in the Hiroshima newspaper. Well, I began to do research on depleted uranium and other kinds of radiation exposure, like the atmospheric testing and also nuclear power plants. And as I learned more and more about radiation and especially about depleted uranium, because there had been very, very little known about it or studies done, or certainly the public didn't know anything at all about it, I became more and more energized and ardent about getting this information to the public. So I travel around the world and talk to citizens and elected officials and parliaments and anyone who is interested in hearing about the issue. And I've been in 4 documentary films in the last year. And Gary Null, who has a big health website on the internet and does many TV and radio programs, has just is finishing a 2-hour documentary on depleted uranium, which will soon be available on public television. So we also I took the Connecticut depleted uranium bill, which was failing to pass in their legislature, to Louisiana last April, and I was shocked out of my skin to find out that the legislature passed it unanimously, and the governor signed it into law within about 8 weeks of my visit to New Orleans. And that bill now is going through at least 15 state legislatures, and it has had the most profound impact on busting this issue open in the mind of the American public, who really have known very little about it. So that's sort of where things stand now.
Yeah, it's a very important issue. In fact, there's many toxins in our world, from lead, trash spilled around the world, but there's nothing compared to DNA and heavy metal. Depleted uranium or not so depleted nanoparticles. Those many filters travel around the world, and there's many, many thousands of Nagasaki airborne radiation particles now around the entire world, affecting every individual and every living thing. So give us an idea how serious the problem is in science tonight.
I can't hear you.
How serious is the issue, and how what are the documentation of the science behind?
Well, I've always said that these very tiny particles are incorporated in very, very large atmospheric dust and sandstorms, which naturally occur all over the world. There was never really a scientific report measuring the actual levels until March of this year, just last month, when Dr. Chris Busby in England published the air monitoring data from the Atomic Weapons Establishment Facility in Britain, and it proved that depleted uranium is transported within 7 to 9 days and is contaminating the British atmosphere after there were especially large spikes right after the Tora Bora bombing in Afghanistan. In fact, it was so high that it required the level be reported to the British government. And then it was just extremely high, much higher, during the 2003 Iraq War. But what we know from that data is that the U.S. was grid bombing and carpet bombing in the no-fly zones with depleted uranium bombs. And the only purpose for grid bombing and carpet bombing with dirty bombs is to permanently contaminate the environment. They also did that in Afghanistan and in Yugoslavia. So basically these regions where there are oil deposits or oil pipelines that we want to control, the countries are radioactive forever. No one should even be living there.
Right, and they're doing this basically as a form of global eugenics, part of the plan by the United Nations and other organizations, world population. And,
it's to depopulate the world, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly, and it's also toxic to every living thing on the earth, but there's more. There's something like 15 species a day that are being kept extinct. This is serious. We have not only the changes that we're doing to the earth, but all the planets are solar activity. So that I talked to Dr. McMegan, frozen in the permafrost for 40,000 years, now rotting, horrendous. So we're dealing with such amazing amounts of pollution, but it's something like 400,000 radiation isotope particles now spreading around the whole globe.
I can't hear you.
I guess it's somewhere around many thousands of times the amount of radiation from Nagasaki that's spreading around the world because of the depleted uranium war, a nuclear war.
Yes, the U.S. has been using dirty bombs, dirty missiles, and dirty bullets made out of uranium. It's a metal that burns at low temperatures, so the metal is actually on fire when it comes out of gun barrels. You can see when every bullet is on fire, you know they're shooting depleted uranium. And you can tell it's depleted uranium bombs. I've seen them on mainstream TV coverage of Fallujah and Baghdad. They're using it primarily in cities and on the civilian population. So there's no doubt what the purpose is. It's to cause long, lingering illnesses and just destroy the civilian population and their genetic future.
Right, and this is a global catastrophe.
Yes, and we're in an epidemic of diabetes, huge increases in all mortality from all causes, started in 1991, right after we used depleted uranium on the battlefield for the first time in Iraq. And it's had a profound impact on global public health. And the most immediate response just within months of exposure is huge increases in diabetes.
Yeah, tell us a little more about the how you discovered this and the other science involved and how you're able to map the discovered association between radioactive and above ground nuclear testing in the past, as well as the new bombing now. This is a very serious issue because diabetes is the number one challenge to health in all of health society worldwide.
Yes. I of course I talk to a lot of people and interview a lot of people, and I do a lot of radio and TV interviews. So I get a lot of information from people that, you know, you wouldn't be able to read in the paper, or certainly they wouldn't show it on TV. And I heard from people from the Middle East that there was an epidemic of diabetes in Kuwait, and they had never had it before 1991. It's especially bad in children. And so Arab women were asking me if this could be from the DU. And I said absolutely yes. Then I heard from people who went to Iraq in 2003 to visit family members. They found their families in an epidemic of diabetes in Baghdad, and when these Americans came back just a couple months after their visit, they had diabetes. So I began to investigate the link between depleted uranium exposure and diabetes. And Dr. Ernest Sternglass, who testified for President Kennedy in 1963 in Congress, and helped to convince the Senate to sign the Partial Test Ban Treaty. He and I both began looking at U.S. government data state by state, and we discovered there were very large increases in diabetes starting in 1991, and particularly in the Gulf State region, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, where these huge 1 million square mile sand and dust storms carrying the depleted uranium come right across the Atlantic and slam into the Caribbean and these Gulf states. And so there was definitely U.S. data state by state supporting this link. And then we went to Japan and discovered the same thing. So the depleted uranium from the Middle East and Central Asia is being carried from that region right across the Atlantic and contaminating the U.S. and the Caribbean. The corals are all dying in the Caribbean, and they're thousands of years old. And then we also discovered it's blowing off of the Himalayas and contaminating India and Pakistan, and then it's carried sort of along the coast of China, Asia, and it goes up and circulates around the Arctic and Alaska, where there are no nuclear power plants. Huge increases of diabetes since 1991 in Alaska. There's no other source of radiation up there.
Well, so we know that it's definitely just a DU problem, period. And also it's, increase of non-smoking-related lung cancer.
Well, yes, it is, but we also know that diabetes is increasing around nuclear power plants as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely, and tell us about that, because you were over in Japan, Loren, with Dr. Nurse, I guess they have the highest concentration of reactors, 55 reactors for a place besides California. What's happening to their people?
Well, Dr. Sternglass and I got a very incriminating book. It's the Japanese government's health statistics from 1898 through 2003. And when you look at the graph in the book, made from data in the book, for total mortality over that 100-year time period, there was almost no cancer in Japan until Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And since then, it's continued to increase with each new additional exposure to a new source of radiation. So bomb testing increased the mortality. Then when the nuclear power plants came into Japan, the mortality rate got even steeper. And then it's just horrendous since 1991 when DU was introduced. The mortality in Japan now is higher than the birth rate. In other words, it's a dying population. And the same is true of Russia because of this Chernobyl accident.
Right, they have a tremendous amount of radiation. They really downplayed that.
So I would call Japan and Russia energy to die for.
Right, and of course the amount of radiation in Chernobyl was so high that they were monitoring and testing in North Europe and Canada where they were looking at tests all of the population.
Well, it contaminated the whole world. It gets all mixed into the atmosphere by convective mixing, just like volcanic dust is contaminates the whole atmosphere after big eruptions. So we know from the ice record in Antarctica, Greenland, the Alps, Himalayas, the Andes, and Hawaii that this dust is preserved in the ice layers. And the pollution is absolutely global because they're identifying it in all of the ice sheets all around the world.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the types of toxicity. Of course, it's radioactive, but when it's nanoparticles, and it's a heavy metal, so it's toxic DNA, 30 times more to mitochondrial DNA than the regular cellular. And the mitochondrial DNA means it's going to cause a chronic mitochondrial function. Chronic fatigue. It also damages cellular mechanisms, and it interferes with metabolic pathways. Hexose monophosphate pathway that allows to generate fuel from sugar. So the body literally chews up protein, and you can waste faster with it than with starvation. So it's not unheard of. In fact, I talked to one gentleman. Family story that came back and lost 70 pounds in 1 month and probably died. And these deaths, by the way, are not being reported. And two has had considerably more radiation. So it's an amazingly toxic substance.
It's incredibly toxic. It has a heavy metal chemical effect. It has a radioactive effect and releases alpha particles, which are the most damaging form of ionizing radiation. And for these nanoparticles that are one-tenth of a micron in diameter and smaller, they're smaller than bacteria and viruses, these have a third effect, which is even worse than the chemical and radioactive effect. They act as non-specific, they act as enzymes or non-specific catalysts. And
right.
That is the most dangerous, the most damaging biological toxin of all.
Right. It actually acts as a template for all kinds of chemical reactions, oxidized cholesterol, fry proteins, cause Alzheimer's, turn proteins into what we call free radical, interferes with the Krebs energy cycle, interferes with red blood cells. It's just unbelievable. And it interferes with hormonal control, adrenal glands, liver detoxification, the ability for adrenal we're going to see an explosion of infertility, diabetes, polyneuropathy, organic brain damage, psychiatric illness, every caused by this toxic warfare, the nuclear war, promulgated by the Bush and the Clean Act Project, Junta, I call it, because that's what it is, military-industrial complex, dictatorship, without any competition, bed of lies in terms of the reason for the war, and their intent, obviously, is that they already have advanced troops now moving into Iran, getting ready for a nuclear attack.
And that is going to, that will be carried, all that radiation in Iran will be carried by the monsoons across Southeast Asia. So it'll be rained out particularly heavily along the coastal cities And India and Pakistan and some coastal countries are already suffering from very high rates of diabetes, and that's because the Himalayas were contaminated by Russian and Chinese atmospheric testing, as well as this depleted uranium that in Afghanistan has contaminated those countries too. And the headwaters of the seven main rivers of Asia, Southeast Asia, the headwaters are in the Himalayas, and I have flown in a Russian Ilyushin plane over the Himalayas and looked down and saw the glaciers where those rivers begin.
Right, and of course, this means that you're going to affect roughly half the world's population by the exposure to this tremendous amount of radiation from even a local warming. But we're going to deal with a burden of disease facility it's unimaginable, even if they do the attack plan, ordered by the real president, President Cheney, and his little puppet Bush. It's a very dangerous situation, and I used to be a Republican. I have an intention of that, having seen that they certainly are no conservative, certainly do not believe in the puppet or any civil rights for either us or any other. And the actions are so serious that if we don't stop this war, and the proliferation of weapons, and there are many countries building. We have Lavaline in Canada, the weapons in Europe, South Africa. Many countries, just like the mess with landmines, and of course, the military industrial complex is making a lot of money, billions of dollars, on making these DU weapons.
Well, the Bush family is making billions of dollars. They're very involved with the Carlyle Group, and the Carlyle Group is heavily invested and involved with the corporations that manufacture depleted uranium.
Yeah.
In fact, listeners should very, very carefully investigate where their pension funds are invested, because what I discovered is that large amounts of CalPERS, the California State Government Workers Pension Fund, is invested in depleted uranium weapons manufacturers, which DU is a weapon of mass destruction. It's illegal under all treaties, laws, U.S. military law. It's absolutely illegal. It's a radioactive poison gas weapon. And yet when millions of people are out in the streets demonstrating against the war, they go home, and their retirement checks or their paychecks are actually from pension funds that are supporting war.
That's one way to make sure they're retired permanently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that little the speed there, it'll be a speedy death. The check will be cut off.
Right. And then on top of that, these warmongers making the decisions to go to these illegal wars are the CEOs or owners of pharmaceutical companies that make the pharmaceuticals that people need, because the impact of these wars is on the public. It's
right.
On the citizens of the world.
Right, and the big pharmaceutical companies will profit from vascular disease, infectious illness. Birth defects and many, many hospitalizations. And again, the corporate giants will grow yet fatter.
That's right.
This is a very serious problem. Now, tell us more about some of the other players. It turns out that the Carlyle Group works with Donald Smith's defense contracts. In fact, they're probably with Halliburton, the largest defense contract company in the world.
I just wrote an article. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, let's go ahead with your article, Lorraine, and tell us.
Yes, I just wrote an article called The Queen's Death Star, and people can read that on the Internet if they just do a Google search on The Queen's Death Star.
Tell us about the article so we get a kind of a thumbnail sketch.
Yeah, well, it's about the air monitoring in Britain and the discovery that the British atmosphere is contaminated with DU, which means the whole world is. And so I started investigating to find out who had made the decision to develop depleted uranium weapons and who was benefiting from it and who owns the world's uranium. And what I discovered is that the Queen of England is one of the biggest owners and investors in uranium mining holdings. And in the late 1950s, a former Nazi who had gone to England and changed his name to a British name, they call him Tiny Roland now, but he set up Rio Tinto Mines for the Queen of England, and it's through that corporation that she owns so much uranium holdings. And what people don't realize is that two-thirds of the world's uranium supplies are located in Australia. And then there are also large holdings in Africa and in Canada. These are all British colonies.
Yeah, exactly. All British colonies. And, of course, the amount of money is immense. The worth, the number you've been quoted, something like $36 billion.
Yeah, they're planning to mine $36 billion of uranium in the next 6 years in Australia.
And guess who's going to build the spur line, give us the punch line?
Oh, Halliburton built the 1,000-mile railroad line to from the uranium mines up to a port on the North Coast. And then the Queen's Buccaneers, Bush and Cheney and Prime Minister Howard in Australia, are running around selling nuclear power plants and her uranium for nuclear fuel to countries like India and China and Korea, and they're trying to make Japan and the U.S. build even more nuclear power plants.
Yeah, in fact, I heard that the largest plan for building power plants in the world is China.
Yes.
They're literally going to have hundreds. They're going to dwarf a small number of plants.
Well, this is the hype in the news, but when you look at the full cycle cost of nuclear power,
yeah,
I don't think the Chinese will invest in it. It's far
too... They're
better
businessmen than that, and they
yeah.
investigate and find out, and if people listen to China, they should investigate and realize that it's very stupid to go to nuclear power. It's not a good solution. They're already fouling their country with the export of all our business. And it's getting so out of control now that it's
It's getting so out of control that what?
A lot of the cities in China, from the pollution and industrial lack of controls, are getting completely uninhabitable.
Oh, I've been to China, and I was in Beijing and Nanking, and the pollution was, the sky was just a dirty orange when you woke up in the morning, and people got Legionnaire's disease and respiratory problems, and everyone got sick. The pollution was so bad there.
Yeah, it's basically, people might think they're a huge country and they're on the verge of a major advance. And what I see is a country literally in the throes of that. If they continue their advance, there's 90% of the millionaires worldwide in China, but they're going to destroy their country.
Well, it's almost destroyed now, and there's a 3-mile thick cloud of pollution over Southeast Asia, which is cutting out 35% of the sunlight from even reaching the surface of the earth. And that pollution is contributing about 30 or 40% of the mercury pollution in the United States. They're measuring it at Crater Lake as it comes across the Pacific, and that's polluting the United States and Canada as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. In fact, we had satellite pictures from the U.S. Geological Survey in NASA back in October of 2001, literally 100,000 tons falling on America and Canada from all the way from China and Southeast Asia for trash burned and industrial byproducts, not properly dumped at site because of no environmental controls. And of course, the DU is orders of magnitude worse than that. It'll be around for billions and billions of years.
Long well, after. The half-life of uranium-238 is 4.5 billion years, which is the age of the Earth. And it will not dissipate to an insignificant amount in less than 10 half-lives. So that's 45 billion years we have to wait for this radiation to diminish.
Which is somewhere around 35 billion years after the sun goes up.
Right, right. We're going to be stardust by then.
Exactly.
So,
we'll be stardust in a new supernova after it turns into a black hole.
And the impact globally is that infant mortality is increasing all over the world for the first time since 1963. We're in an epidemic of melanoma, which is skin cancer, particularly in children. We're in a global diabetes epidemic. Over 200 million people around the world have diabetes. And the Centers for Disease Control announced in 2003 during the Iraq War that all Hispanic and black children can be expected, the ones born in 2000, that 50% of them will have diabetes and about 35% of white children will have diabetes sometime in their lives. These are for children born in 2000.
Yeah, and this is, I see the trend of a massive increase in illness, the shortening of human lifespan, increased neurodegenerative disease, a drop in fertility, and a massive loss, implosion of the world population. Not an explosion, not a massive explosion.
Well, we can already see that in Russia and Japan.
Right.
They don't even know what they're going to do about their retiring population because they have a shrinking young population which cannot support the retirees.
Right, and the retirees are living long enough that their fertility rate's dropping, but they're getting a lot more human care.
That's
so
right.
It's a very serious problem. Tell us the events that are coming up in terms of what's done on a global scale. What's happening?
Well, some of the very important things that are happening is, I think the most important thing in the United States is the depleted uranium bills that are in state legislatures. About 15 states have introduced DU bills, making it mandatory for the state government to test and give medical treatment to the National Guardsmen. They cannot do it for regular soldiers because the states only have legal jurisdiction over the National Guard, and they are forcing the Pentagon to pay for this care because the Pentagon is violating their own mandates, directives, and orders. So they are legally liable for the cost of testing and health care. This has resulted in some very interesting things. The regular soldiers got really angry because they were not being tested, and they put a lot of pressure on Congress, and Congress has now introduced a bill admitting for the first time ever that all of our soldiers have been exposed to radiation. And Terrell Arnold, who is the chair of a department at the U.S. War College in Washington, D.C., in September, he said that it is reasonable to expect that 40 to 50% of our soldiers will come home sick. They'll be on medical disability or dead because of the DU and other toxins on the battlefield. And not just on the battlefield. If you're downwind, you're going to be exposed as well. And soldiers are telling me now that 56% of our soldiers are ill. And just within a year or 16 months, soldiers are coming home with huge tumors in their brains, in their lungs, all over their bodies, in their stomachs. It's a radiation nightmare.
Right, and the situation, I like to see the micro, which is serious to bring out the molecular level, but let's look at the players that are doing it. Might say, well, this is catastrophic.
I can't hear you.
They must have thought it was catastrophic, that this is something that they couldn't possibly have planned it, but in fact, this is part of the global plan to hijack the environmental movement, to actually cause environmental catastrophe, to poison our troops. That's why at the very same time, and I'd like to connect the dots on this, you know, and iron, and I want people to go and investigate it themselves and see Rio Conference, World Population Control, the 2021, the United Nations, 1996, the Security Council, many, many other documents. You'll see globalist organizations like World Health Organization and the United Nations Population Control Organization. Their plans contains other kinds of toxins, GMOs, world facility, reduce the population. And what they're doing to America, and here's the end result, is we're going to have our young people coming home with destroyed health, with destroyed fertility, men that are told they have 2 millicuries of radiation, they have high levels of exposure on the battlefield, are coming home completely shattered. Many of them are committing suicide when they're told they're going to die, that they're infertile, and they can't have children, and they'll have birth. And this situation is to destroy our young people. At the same time, they have Costco in Long Beach, California, authorized by Bill Clinton. They have the Freeport, Bahamas port being managed by the People's Republic of Army in Hudson, Wyoming, checking a radioisotope possible carriers of nuclear bombs that we're not going to have in our country in Freeport, Bahamas. A communist Chinese front company. We have the transfer of technology to communist China by Bill Clinton, George Bush Sr., and George Bush Jr. to these countries like North Korea. We've been up to the time a month before a bomb was in Alaska, detonated by missed Anchorage by several hundred miles along the coast. That missile carry a payload. All of these things are done because they plan on moving foreign onto American soil and destroy our national parents, destroy our young people and our ability to defend ourselves, destroy our economy with very expensive war now in the hundreds of billions of dollars. I call it the $1 trillion war regime. Fast approaching $1 trillion.
Yeah, but while they're doing that war, they're stealing trillions more.
Right.
They're just trillions and trillions of dollars that have disappeared. Nobody knows where they are. It's
yeah,
the Pentagon.
$7 trillion from the Pentagon. Just oh well, geez,
we lost
a few zeros. 6.7 trillion. Like wow, that's an awful lot of money. I mean, you know, that's unbelievable. That's equivalent to the gross national product in 1 year. That's how much money that is.
That's right.
So we're dealing with massive criminal activity on the part of our government, and it's been proven through history. And Catherine Albrecht mentioned the other day when she was talking about Alex Jones, I've heard this book before, that governments of the world in the last century have killed more people than all other causes of death combined, plague, famines, anything else you could imagine.
If you look at these wars, it's the civilian population that is the real target.
Absolutely. And in fact, the same thing happened in Japan. It was the civilians that were destroyed with bombs, Nagasaki, and the
wealthy ruling elite, the infrastructure, and the corporations were practically untouched.
Absolutely. And you could see where even where the bombs were placed. They were particularly placed because back then, the civilian population, like the bombs were addressed in the Second World War, bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And if there's new cooperation, I can tell you that there are already 6 places ready to go, that they're going to be done to cause an attack against the American population. PDD 60, which is a policy put in place by President Clinton and verified again by this President Bush, is a policy that we will not respond with the initial counterattack, even 26 million Americans are annihilated in a nuclear attack, either with a suitcase or larger that are in place, like in a container, war with incoming missiles. So that's the kind of foolishness going on. So we have a situation where the target really is the population. And they're hurrying it up. They're actually hurrying this up because, and you have to understand, this comes back to very high-level spiritual people. These people believe what's written by their high-level magician, prophet, I want to call him Albert Pike, who wrote that their doctrines have been for a very long time, one of the wars in America and worldwide. They wanted the First World War, the Second World War with Germany, and the third one, Albert Pike spoke and documented that we were going to propagate a war between Zionism and Islam. And the balkanization of all of these Islamics and each other is part of the game by Iraq now. We're not verging on Civil War. The government can't even sit, because if they do, they'll probably be assassinated right there because of some attainment now, stirred up by us blowing up their temples, which were clearly SAS or American Special Ops doing these operations. So what are your comments on that, Lauren?
Well, there's certainly some very disturbing changes happening. It's very rapid. This is global, And it's particularly bad in NATO countries. Now, there are some regions that are rebelling, like South America, some of Africa, and they're not going along with this program.
Right. South America is particularly alike. And, some people think they're going toward the communists. In fact, Chavez has got lots of oil. In fact, supplies.
Venezuela has more oil than any other country in the world.
Right, and they have a lot of power. They have a block of seven countries coming in, being together and forming their own thing and everything.
Yes, they should. They should start their own oil bourse, their own
absolutely.
Oil market.
And I can guarantee you, if you make an attack there, there are three different communist Chinese towns there. The communist Chinese control both ends of Panama Canal. They have, and this is the fact that classified information, all kinds of classified information, so you need to know this. They have short-range nuclear missiles placed there by the Russians over the last number of decades, and they have capability of moving larger ones.
Well, even more important than that, China has shipped and Russia have shipped personal arms to Venezuela for ordinary people to have in their homes.
Absolutely, and they've said.
And when Rumsfeld heard about that, he went ballistic.
Well, you know, what they're doing is that the Chinese and Russians are arming the public because they know it's invaded by America and allies.
They're creating another Iraq.
Right, and what they want to do is they want to go after Chavez. Chavez was given a little tour by our special forces to put the bomb in the helicopter and killed him. And they didn't manage it, and he's learned the lesson. He's playing hardball. And I don't think he's a pushover. I don't think that this is going to be a very easy situation at all. America sold technology to the Russian Chinese, given it to our so-called allies, you know, who have promptly given it over to the Communist Chinese. The Communist Chinese have got missile batteries in Saudi Arabia that they maintain in Saudi Arabia, believe it or not, at the Salaya Oasis, which is 100 miles north of Riyadh, their capital, and 500 miles north, and they can fire a missile off a modified missile every 30 seconds from either missile battery. And they're capable of hitting as far away as London, England, or Tokyo. And pretty soon, I was told this now years ago, they'll be able to hit anywhere in the continent of the United States from Saudi Arabia. So if we attack Iran, don't assume that our so-called ally Saudi Arabia will stay on our side. There's an ancient saying in the Middle East that me and my brother against my cousin, me and my cousin against my enemy, and we're attacking not just one country, we're attacking all of Islam. America is part of the game, make America the bad cop, make it take on an enemy that it can't possibly win against. And then, when America is burned with fire and trash, just like it says in the Bible, see Babylon the Great burned with fire and flesh burned with fire, then we'll see the world will be so tired of the nuclear war coming quickly that they will grasp for the RFID chip and move the United Nations to give us a nuclear and set up a new type of order. And this is all part of the dialectic of conflict and order out of chaos. So that's what they're doing. They're planning and bringing about a number of catastrophes, including if they attack Iran, Iran will mine the Strait of Hormuz. That will immediately cut off 25% of the world's oil and the largest gas field proven in the world. And it will result in an immediate collapse of the world economy. So we're dealing with a geostrategic catastrophe. We're dealing with environmental. And without any doubt, depleted uranium and so toxic, all the other things that came out through is the most dangerous and nasty toxin ever devised in history. It was, of course, a gas bioweapon. Second report. Let's go over a little bit of that, Lorraine. Tell us some of the history of how long ago now how to Lorraine? Hello? Lorraine, are you still there? Well, back in World War II, the research that was done back during the time of the developing, the governments, when they push this forward and do this, they're fully appraised of the fact that this is a gaseous weapon of mass destruction that violates every treaty on Earth.
Well, the blueprint for depleted uranium weapons was 1943 under the Manhattan Project, And it was recommended for development as a radioactive poison gas weapon. In other words, dirty bombs, dirty missiles, and dirty bullets, because when it's fired, it starts burning and releases a radioactive poison gas. And so they knew in 1943, I mean, that's why they wanted to develop it for a weapon, because they knew it would contaminate the air, water, soil, and even the blood. It goes, these particles go right through the skin into the tissues of the body. And even in World War II, there was also a plan for development of a defoliant like Agent Orange. And in the end, they thought it was more morally justified to drop atomic bombs on a civilian population than to develop weapons like DU and Agent Orange. And they declined to develop them in World War II.
Isn't that unbelievable, the ethics back then and how much we've deteriorated in terms of the military-industrial junta that's running this world now?
In the 1960s, they took those weapons designs off the shelf, dusted them off, and started to develop Agent Orange and DU for the oil wars. And that's exactly what they're doing. The idea, the concept, the plan to depopulate the world goes back into the 1850s or even earlier.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it goes back to Thomas Malthus and the Malthusian doctrines that were later promulgated by a Royal Society that hired Karl Marx to actually write these documents that later became the Communist Manifesto, and all of the other things that were planned, including the policies to develop social Darwinism and use it as a platform for world population control. And eventually, this is their plan. They want to reduce fertility to the point where human beings can only reproduce in a laboratory. And their eventual plan is to not even have women be pregnant, just to have artificial uteri and do genetic screening directly in the population so they can completely control the human population on the planet.
Well, the infertility is so high now in Japan that that very few people are having babies. It's shocking to travel through Japan, to be, you know, on public transportation, and you see almost no babies or children.
Well,
it's
places,
remarkable.
In Afghanistan, the word that I heard when this was really stuck out of my mind is that the word translated from Afghanistani, whatever the language is there, is that they are afraid to have what we call jelly babies, which are literally malformed, not even a properly formed baby, but literally you may see kind of what looks like partial organs developed and a glob, which isn't, it can't become a living child at all. And this is what's happening, is women are so exposed to radiation, the same in Iraq. Cyclops.
The same in Yugoslavia. And this happened during atmospheric testing to populations such as the Marshall Islanders, who were used as human guinea pigs.
Absolutely. And, of course, our U.S. soldiers that were the atomic veterans that were exposed to above-ground radiation on purpose.
That's right.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to have John Ragsdale on the program talking about this very issue tomorrow night. John's father was a senior at Milton Ragsdale, senior electrical engineer working on the detonation systems for the nuclear bombs. And in fact, the German Nazis and the American scientists worked at the reactor sites in Chicago and in the Oak Ridge National Labs, and of course at Lawrence Livermore in California, to develop the nuclear bomb, and did a test off the Bikini Atoll in 1939 before the Second World War. There's also now a book that came out last fall from a former German scientist that a very dirty cobalt bomb was blown up in 1942, 2 years before the end of the war. So they rewrote history, because what's really going on is the nuclear bomb was a collaborative effort, and that this was promulgated on completely false ideas, in the same way with the Second World War. If a nation had the nuclear bomb, why would there be even a world war? Because the other side would immediately capitulate if you presented this weapon.
Well, the nuclear weapons are really obsolete. You can't use them because they contaminate your own soldiers and the whole planet.
Yeah, but they're not contaminating.
And what they've done is they've actually staged a secret nuclear war using DU since 1991. They don't even need to use the real nukes. Real weapons are exotic weapons which people don't even know about. And what they're doing is using natural instabilities in the earth, like unstable earthquake faults, unstable volcanoes, and they are triggering eruptions and earthquakes and causing natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina, which can be used to concentrate the wealth upwards. So they're stripping the middle class, the poor people, and shooting that wealth upwards to, for instance, to Bush and all his rich cronies.
Well, here's what I expect to happen. Now, you know that everything is in-time production in terms of all of the companies and the small businesses in America and elsewhere. And the debt ratio of most corporations, if they were out of business for a month to 2 months, most companies in America, many of the small and medium-sized companies, would be out of business. The only ones that might survive might be the large mega corporations that are literally evading taxes in every nation on the planet. So what will happen is there's a collapse in the world economy, and nothing would cause this more efficiently and more quickly than mining of the Strait of Hormuz, which is right across from the United Arab Emirates. Interestingly, the UAE are the ones that have this this port deal that they tried to push through. It's later going to go right back to Halliburton Corporation, which is
it's
going
to go to Carlyle.
Yeah, Carlyle Group, I mean.
And that whole jiggery-pokery was just a ruse to get public support for the Carlyle Group.
Right, and what Carlyle did is they were able to bring it down on a lower bid. And Carlyle, again, is owned by the Queen, the Bush family, and the Bin Ladens, the same devils that are going to do this. Now, if the economy collapses worldwide, you'll see bankruptcies on a level that makes the 1929 crash look like nothing, because most people don't have enough money saved. They don't have food saved. They don't have a garden. They don't have a capacity to take care of themselves. And most people, even in flood-provoked places like in Florida or the Gulf States, don't even have 3 days of water.
In the next 50 years, the U.S. is going to look like the Philippines.
Right.
And
it's
rich people living in huge houses behind high walls, and the poor people living in a little strip along the rivers, which is very unhealthy. And I went there. It's just horrendous.
Right. This is where the movie V for Vendetta is part of the psychotrauma used to try to explain what they want to do. And, in fact, in that movie, America had become a leper colony. Last year, in 2005, there were 70 cases in the last 70 years of wet leprosy got into the United States. Last year, there was over 7,000 by just July.
Well, everybody's immune system is horribly damaged by this DU, so our bodies can't fight off the cancer cells that are in everybody's body anyway. Our immune system prevents them from getting out of control.
Now,
and there are many, many other illnesses which will be caused by the radiation.
Well, of course, for solutions to that, I have on my website, NutriMedical.com, many of the solutions, but we have to stop further pollution or we're not going to have any world left. But we have things like liquid zeolite. We have phase one and phase two detox enzymes. We have what's called electrolyzed plus alkalizing water that's living water that helps to communicate between your DNA, which is a crystal, and your cells, biomolecules. There are things you can do right now, but we've got to stop the depleted uranium. We've got to stop this globalism. And you've got to understand what George Bush is doing in Alajuela, they are traitors. They are destroying the Constitutional Republic. They are destroying the office of the presidency. They are destroying the power of the Congress and Senate by compromising them.
They're destroying life on Earth.
Right. And we had Ted Gunderson talking last night. We had him on the show for almost 2 hours. We talked specifically about all the compromises. And all of that is being used. And DU is not just being used as a weapon, because it's completely unnecessary, against a third-rate or fourth-rate army that's a ragtag band that can't possibly fight us, and their tanks are like tissue paper compared to even our conventional weapons. There's absolutely no need for them to be doing this. And I took care of vets that told me when they're sitting on the ammo boxes in their Abrams tanks, they were actually sitting on top of them. There were so many minutes they were allowed to sit on them because they get hot. I mean, this is completely insane. We're literally having young men sit with their reproductive parts within inches of radioisotopes that are literally from spent fuel rods. They're not very spent at all. They're very radioactive.
They're coming home from with rectal cancer from sitting on ammunition boxes of DU.
Yeah, yeah, and it's completely unacceptable. And the thing, here's what they did to me. And I'm telling you, I'm a mad doctor. I'm really angry. I worked at CECOM in Colorado Springs in 94 and 95, and I was told by my bosses that not to do testing on them for heavy metals and so on.
Yeah, that's
or I'd
right.
be fired or worse. I said, well, what's worse? And I went right up to Major Swinder, and I said, what's worse? He said, how about dead? I said, you won't threaten me, buddy. And I looked at him like, I am a little nuts. Don't threaten me. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not
yeah.
afraid of any of those guys. That's why I'm speaking out, and I bring out the maximum amount of classified and other information and connecting the dots with experts, world experts like Loren Murray, Ted Gunderson, George Greed, other top people that know what's really going on. And we're trying to convince you people who think you've sold out that you're going to be saved. They're soiling and destroying the planet. You, no matter if you think you're going to get rich or powerful, wherever you are, if you're in the military-industrial complex, your world is going bye-bye. And if you don't fight with us, there's no fighting against us, because if you fight against us and you win, you die. So you die either way if you still stay on the other side. But if you stay on, or come to our side, if you repent of what you've been doing, if you fight depleted uranium, if you fight aspartame, if you fight against the destruction of nation states toward globalism that doesn't help other countries, like helping America help Mexico rather than having a massive, not a normal controlled immigration, which is very rational, and lots of people from every nation have the perfect right to be here, but when they have a massive flood on purpose while they crash the world economy, which will even speed it up. And what will happen to these third world countries if they crash the world economy? You won't have 30 million immigrants. You'll have hundreds of millions. And it will turn America into a third world country with little islands with private security guards around the ultra wealthy.
Just
That's
like the Philippines. Dr. Deagle, I have to leave now.
Well, I appreciate it. And Loren, we're going to have you back and talk about these issues and the updates, because we're obviously coming very close to the end of this situation, and they are planning. They have American special ops already getting laser designators and ready to go. Do keep in touch, and we'll definitely announce on BBS Radio when we'll have you back to give us an update. You're always so knowledgeable. I always learn so much by interviewing you on these programs. And everyone, take care and take action and check this out for yourself, but don't just sit by and be entertained by it. This is your world, and this is your future. Thank you, Loren. You're a heroine in my books, and I really believe you are the Lady Diana for against depleted uranium landmines. I call them DNA landmines.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone, and take action. We'll be back tomorrow night with John Ragsdale talking about the rewriting, the correction of world history and nuclear war weapons developments, and what really does this mean. And stay tuned to the Clay and Iron with Dr. Bill Deagle. We'll have many new guests connecting the dots and giving you a pathway toward freedom and our true identity and our true future, which is not a dark future. It's a bright future, but we need to start growing up and taking responsibility and taking action. Thank you, Loren, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.